And I hope the latter part of my life is way more about unconditionally helping people without needing to get anything out of it in return.
Hey, it's your host, Abigail Pumphrey, and I'm on a personal mission to help more small business owners become financially free. I like to nerd out on all things business, marketing, and most definitely the numbers. I'm talking all the lessons learned as I turned a layoff into a seven-figure online business. I like to share it all, and no conversation is off the table. We talk actionable strategies, biz challenges, and all the things life throws your way. Grief, anxiety, loss, and resilience are all topics you'll find here. So grab a cup of coffee and settle in because you're listening to the Strategy Hour podcast, brought to you by Boss Project. Want to learn exactly step-by-step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that helped me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart. How much are your ideas worth to you? Get unlimited computer backup for you or your business with CrashPlan Professional. CrashPlan takes data preservation seriously. They understand that data is not just bits and bytes. It's your valuable IP, innovations, and ideas. Visit CrashPlan.com/BossProject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has options for individuals and businesses who want reliable, secure backup services. CrashPlan works efficiently in the background while you work encrypting and sending all your new or changed files up to their secure cloud every 15 minutes. Get 24/7 365 protection. CrashPlan makes it simple to restore some or all of your data. And with unlimited version retention, CrashPlan can be your ultimate rewind button. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/BossProject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/BossProject for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
I'm still in my pajamas. I am recovering from what was an incredibly hectic week, but I can't wait to take you behind the scenes on what it's been like to prep and ultimately shoot part of a television show for a major streaming network. If this sounds cryptic, it's because it is, and I'm not technically allowed to say the name of the show, the contents of the show, or when it's being released, the name of it. I don't know. There's a lot of details that are still not to be determined. I definitely know the answers to them, but I'm not allowed to say them publicly because it is not my place to make this announcement. But I did want to give you a little insight into what it looks like behind the scenes, all the planning, all the things that go wrong, all the things that go right, all the things you prepare for and the things that I wasn't prepared for and everything in between. If you want to catch up on some of the visuals for this, I am going to make, right after I record this episode, a highlight reel over on Instagram so you can see all of these things. So if you're not yet following me, make sure you go over to Boss Project on Instagram, and then my profile is at Abigail Says. I would love to have you follow me over there and check out the highlight that's showing you everything that I did behind the scenes, and I'm going to take you along with me. Now, to set the stage for this, I have to take you back to, I think it was October. It might have been November. It's really honestly a blur, but this was months and months and months ago. I was approached when the show was still in concept. It had to have been this fall. It was definitely in the early stages. When I heard about the show, it was still in concept. So what that means is when someone wants to produce a show in this manner, I'm sure there's many ways you could approach this, but in this manner specifically, they took video footage and put together a concept. So they weren't necessarily shooting new footage for this. They were taking, I'm not sure if it was previous footage they had done themselves or if they purchased stock or a combination of both, but they used images and live footage to put together what the concept of the show would look and feel like before they had put time, energy, and money into making the show. Now, that's what's called a sizzle reel, and it's essentially a show's concept. Think of it a lot like a brand's mood board. You're going into it giving vibes, but nothing's really set in stone. So I saw the show in sizzle reel, okay? And I knew what the potential title was, but this was super early on in the process. Now, I'm not sure of the specifics as to where in the lineup I was in terms of who they had talked to and what that all meant, but I am pretty sure at this point the show had already been sold, which is such an interesting concept to me because, you know, sometimes you see people who produce what's called a pilot. They put together the whole first episode and then they take the first episode and use that to pitch the show to a network. And then the network either picks it up or they don't. Sometimes the pilot is shown by itself and they'll do like a test where they'll actually test the pilot on air. And then if it goes well, then they will shoot the rest of the season. I don't know if it's because there's so many more ways to stream content these days or if things changed during COVID. I don't know. I'm still very new to this world and don't know a ton about video production other than what I witnessed. But it definitely appeared to me like the show had been sold when it was in concept only. So they were planning to go from concept to shooting the entire season. Now, I'm sure in a lot of instances, people would be trying out. They would be submitting their own take. And honestly, I have no idea what that process looks like because that's not how it worked for me. I was approached individually as someone who had built a business. I'm not going to get into why or what that meant for the show, but I was never asked to try out. I was never asked to submit video footage. And I was just kind of presented this opportunity on a silver platter. And it was like, say yes or no. And I know that sounds crazy, but I had maybe 5 minutes of a sizzle reel. I had a couple of emails and a lot of faith and a prayer to put into this. There was not a ton of background. There was not a ton of conversation. This was really me blindly going in and hoping that all of this was as legit as it felt. And I'm pretty confident after shooting it all that it is as legit as it felt. I've seen a clip of one of the episodes that's currently being edited, and I feel good about my decision. But at the time, I was terrified. There was a lot going on in my head. I simply had no idea what it would look like. And I've seen a lot of people be upset about their stint in reality TV, about not being cut in a way that made them look good or what really happened versus what the cut was just completely different. But this wasn't really meant to be dramatic, if that makes sense. Like, the purpose of the show is not to stir up drama for entertainment. The purpose of the show is genuinely to help people and help a lot of people. So I had good vibes that this was going to have a good impact, but I didn't necessarily know a lot of the details that were going into it. Who was going to be involved? Was the cast going to be diverse enough? How were people going to talk about themselves or their businesses? I genuinely had no clue. And at one point, I even thought about saying no, because there was just a huge part of me that was so scared that I could be portrayed any way they wanted. And I didn't have any control over it. I wasn't going to be able to get to approve the cut before things went live. I had no idea. But I decided, regardless of how the show was ultimately produced, if I said things that I felt grounded in, I felt like they would have a hard time editing in a way that would make me look bad, if that makes sense. And I decided to say yes. And I said yes sometime in November for sure. Like I said, I'm not sure how far previous to that I was given information, but I know for sure I said yes in November, because the original shoot date was actually the week after Christmas. Now, as you can imagine, as someone who grew up in the Midwest and grew up in a kind of rural area just outside of Kansas City, I had no real concept of what the process was like or how many people would be involved or any of it. You know, in Kansas City specifically, we have a lot of science and technology. We do have quite a few huge agencies, but the work that they're producing is mostly commercial, meaning a lot of like actual commercials, but also social content for some pretty large brands. But in terms of like producing television shows, like very few have been produced here. It was a very big deal, like a very big deal to our city when Queer Eye shot an entire season here. And there's definitely been the occasional like clip of Kansas City done and things. But this basically meant that I didn't even have anyone I could ask. So I didn't know anyone in this world where I could ask questions. I just kind of had to run with it. And when the shoot was initially going to be in December, I was kind of scrambling because they told me that I needed to provide my own wardrobe, which is no big deal. I wanted to feel comfortable and confident in what I was wearing, but trying to figure out what I'm going to wear when I know very little about the show, very little about the set, and we're a few weeks out. Oh my gosh. I was panicked. And honestly, it was easier to be worried about what I was going to wear than what I was going to say. I didn't want to stress myself out about what I was going to say. I'm like, I figured if I've produced over 800 podcast episodes and I have talked for a living for the last 9 years, figuring out what I'm going to say felt like the easy part of the equation. How I present myself when I'm used to literally sitting in my pajamas, like I am right now, to produce a show for the airwaves, when you guys do not see my face, it's just a little bit different. Luckily, my two closest friends are both stylists. Okay, so Kate is like an actual wardrobe stylist. She went to school for fashion. She works primarily right now with Hallmark on a lot of behind the scenes, both photo and video shoots, but she also has her own set of clients and she's run her own business since I've known her the last decade. And then Jamie is also a trained graphic designer like I am, but she has a strong sense of fashion and is a huge plus size advocate. And honestly, she is such a powerhouse. And so I was very thankful I had these two people in my corner who were cheering me on, helping me figure it out, sending me ideas. And mostly both of them really wanted me to pick out how I was going to move forward. But they were there to like validate me, cheer me on, and give me props when I made some decisions. I'm sure I could have hired either one of them to actually pick it out, but I don't know. Sometimes you just want your friends to cheer for you, and that was the direction I went. But a few, like maybe a week before Christmas, so 2 weeks before the shoot, it got moved to January. So now I had a little more time, and I continued to kind of look and hunt. I think at one point I had ordered like over $1,000. It sounds so crazy to say out loud. Over $1,000 worth of clothes, just not knowing what was going to fit. For those of you who are borderline, where you are somewhere between straight sizing and plus sizing, and you're kind of lost in the ocean in between, shopping in person is like nearly impossible. And I don't care what major city you live in, there is just not a lot of options. We roll into the new year and the shoot gets moved again. And I'm like starting to get a little frustrated at this point because I just don't know a lot about how this whole world works. And I didn't understand why we would have dates and then those things would continue to move. But I did find out in January that the original concept for the episode that I was going to be in changed. Or they were redoing the whole concept for the episode. Again, I've had very little detail, but the original plan was edited. So I think the scenes they were going to shoot that I was going to be in were in motion. And they were literally going back to the drawing board. And when I mean the drawing board, I mean like a whiteboard with concepts for the flow of the show. Now, when that happened, the show got moved back like almost a month. So it was going to be in December, then it was going to be two different dates in January, and then it moved to February. And I was like, okay, I actually have more time this time. I want to like step back and really think of how I want to look and what that looks like. Honestly, I don't know if you guys have ever been nervous. Oh, obviously you've been nervous. I don't know if you've ever been so nervous that you hyperfixate on one little piece of the puzzle that doesn't really matter. But apparently my hyperfixation throughout this entire process was, what is my outfit? Because it felt like the only thing I had control over. I didn't have control over booking my own flights, where I was staying, when I was leaving, how long I was going to be there, like none of those things. And as someone who likes control, that was very stressful for me. And so the thing I hung on to was, what am I going to wear on, is it national television or internet? I don't even want to think about it. Last I checked, 270 million people are going to have access, which I'm sure only a fraction of those people will actually watch. Still makes my heart jump a lot. Fast forward, it's the week of Valentine's Day. My best friend Kate is throwing like a painting party. She's also a trained artist, and she loves doing like gold foil detail on her paintings. And so she had started doing these pop-up painting workshops, and one was being held in one of my favorite boutiques in Kansas City. They were originally called Lady By. They had three different stores, Lady By, Coco, and Kate, and they've all kind of merged. So I think it might be called Lady Co. now. I'm not totally sure what the new name is. Anyway, it's in Brookside, and we were going to the painting class, and I had no idea that the boutique was actually going to be like open. I mean, obviously I knew it was going to be open for us to be there, but I didn't know that we could shop. I should have known we could shop. Kate is in charge of this event. I get there and she's like, take a look around. And the next thing I know, I have an entire dressing room full of clothes. And I don't normally try on a lot of stuff. I don't normally shop a lot in person, so this was kind of a big deal for me. But I put on this outfit and I felt fire. Like, I felt so good. It felt like a little edgier than I am in reality, but like the edginess gave me the confidence and I was feeling super good about it. I came out and there was this stand that had a whole bunch of sunglasses on it. And I grabbed a pair and I put them on and I was like, oh my God, I was so excited. And I think in that moment, it really set in like, this is actually happening. Like, this is absolutely wild. I've known plenty of people in my world who've been on TV for like news, media, but I had never known anyone who had been on like an actual television show. So I have my outfit. I go on the hunt for shoes, as one does. Originally, I bought 4-inch heels when I haven't worn heels since high school because I like really hurt my foot in college and basically wore tennis shoes for 4 years straight. Story for another day. For the record, I can't walk in 4-inch heels. I sounded absolutely insane walking down the hallway. It was very clompy. It was not good. So I returned those shoes, got 2-inch heels. I felt really good about that. And I was like, okay, I can walk. I have something I can wear. When is this happening? And so 2 weeks before I'm supposed to fly out again in February, it moves again. I lost count at this point. I'm pretty sure we're on the fifth or sixth time that it's moved. After it moved 3 times, I stopped changing my schedule. So prior to that, if I got a new date, I was reorganizing my calendar, rescheduling people who were going to be on my podcast, changing internal meetings, the whole nine. After it got rescheduled the 3rd time, I was like, I can't keep doing this. When I am like 100% confident it's happening, then I'll move forward. Now, the thing that was really wild is I said something about it in January because I was really confident we were shooting in January, but then it got obviously rescheduled. And I was so nervous that I had announced to everyone I know on the planet that I'm doing this thing. And then there was a huge part of me that was like, what if the whole show doesn't happen? I just told everyone I'm doing this. I don't want them to think I'm a liar, but I've known about this for 3, going on 4 months already. And it felt like I waited forever to say something. And I just said something. And now when I thought it's going to happen, it's not happening. So I was very, very scared to say anything else until I had plane tickets. And then I was like, okay, if I have plane tickets, this is going to be good. So we're 2 weeks out. The shoot moves back another week. Now we're shooting in the end of February. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going with the flow at this point. No real alternative option. But we finally get firm. And I did ask at this point because we had a pre-production meeting where we got on Zoom and I met with a director and a couple of producers and asked them some questions. And I was like, how sure are we about these new dates? And they told me that a good chunk of the show was due in March. And I don't necessarily know what all of that means, but I definitely got the vibe that there's just not a lot of time. And this was one of their like drop dead dates, like where if it didn't happen then, like it wasn't going to happen at all, but they really needed it for the show. So all good, well on our way. And I was like, all right, so I think we're moving forward. I got the tickets for my flights. My accommodations were booked. I was like, this is actually happening. And so I did everything I can at the last second to move my schedule around, which was honestly so chaotic. I found out on Wednesday I was leaving the following Tuesday, but I had announced literally 3 days before that I was going to be launching that week. But not just launching myself, I wanted to launch alongside my students in my program, the co-op. and the people also in Digital Product Jumpstart, and I was going to do this with them. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to be gone for a week, and I'm like, oh no. So I didn't want to cancel the launch, and I didn't want to move it because I had already promised them. So I was like, this is an opportunity to figure out what it looks like to keep things chill, easy, pre-plan a little bit, but just execute what I can, even though I'm away. And I'm really glad that's the decision I went with, but it was still stressful to be that close to when I was leaving to find all this out. Now, somewhere in the mix of all of this, I had a celebrity makeup artist that had pitched herself to be on the Strategy Hour. If you haven't listened to the episode with Harriet, go back and listen, especially if you're interested in booking celebrity clients. It was such a good episode. But I ran into her on the interwaves. I had done an episode with her, and she was way more in this world than anyone else I knew. And so I started asking her questions. And I was like, what do you know about this? What do you know about that? What does this look like? What do I need to do? And she hooked me up with a makeup artist in LA that could do my makeup the day of. I debated whether I was going to get my hair done. It was kind of strange because the location of the shoot was off-site. There was no hair and makeup stylist on set. And so I had to come hair and makeup ready. And so I was trying to decide, what do I need to feel confident? And I decided to move forward with hiring a makeup artist, but I was going to do my own hair after, you know, not being so sure about it. But I did get it blown out a few days before. And for those of you who have seen me with my hair undone, you know that my hair is very, very, very wavy. And it also has a tendency to frizz because I have some texture to it. And anyway, I thought getting it blown out will help calm some of the chaos so that when I go to do it, hopefully it'll stay a little more. Whether that actually happened or not, we'll find out when the show actually makes it to air. But my hair wasn't necessarily my favorite that day. Okay, so fast forward, I know what's happening. I have my plane tickets. I have my hotel. I have my makeup artist booked. I already had my wardrobe picked out. I am as ready as I'm going to be. I've met with a producer. I know what the plan is. I know like what the scene looks like, what's going to happen. And I pack my bags and leave for the airport at 5:30 in the morning. I have not seen 5:30 in the morning in eons, but that is the flight that it was booked for me, and I took it. So I ended up having someone drive me into the airport, like a car service, because it was so early. I didn't feel confident that I could drive myself because I was just going to be out of it. And my husband, absolutely no way. Like, the man's barely awake at 9 a.m., let alone 5:30 in the morning. So I'm glad I got the car service and I booked myself to the airport and flew out. I had kind of the afternoon to do some things on my own. I took myself to lunch on the beach and then went and sat by the ocean and just thought and spend some time being grateful for this opportunity because it was just so wild and felt both so big but also so terrifying because I'm like, what if I'm making it a bigger deal than it is? Or what if I'm not making it a big enough deal? And there was just a lot of negative self-talk and fighting with myself in my own head about what's the appropriate level of leveraging this PR opportunity, but also not downplaying how hard I worked to get to the point that I could be asked to be on a TV show without having to try out and like knowing where it's going, like it is a big deal. And also, I still fear judgment. I still fear what people will think of me. This is going to be, to this point in my career, the biggest time I've ever been in front of so many strangers at the same time. More often than not, when I'm putting myself in front of strangers, I get to be so diligent about the kind of language that I'm using to attract right fit people that I've been lucky enough to not be under a lot of scrutiny. I haven't had a lot of flack sent my way. For sure, I've had some negative comments and critiques and things that have happened, but I was in control of the narrative. And this felt like giving up so much control and trusting that it was all going to work out. And I still don't know. Like when this comes out, you're still not going to know the name of the show. You're still not going to know when it airs. I don't know. It's just, it's wild. But I did want to produce this while this is all still fresh. So sitting on the beach, feeling good, I get a phone call from a brand partner. They're like, just making sure you're alive and you made it. And I was like, I in fact did. Thank you for asking. I'll see you at dinner. So I decided I'm going to go back to my hotel thinking it was going to be like 30 minutes. LOL, LA traffic. Your girl had no idea. I thought I knew what traffic was. I had no idea what traffic was. Like we're talking, I think it took an hour 40 to go like less than 5 miles. If this hadn't been through some wild parts of the city, it would have been faster for me to walk, which is, I'm slow. So the fact that I could have walked faster is just, oh, it hurts my brain a lot to think about. But anyway, I get back to the hotel. I'm able to change. I throw on some clothes and head to dinner. And it is 6:30 p.m. the night before the shoot. As soon as I sit down to dinner, I find out the shoot is not happening tomorrow. Oh my God.
I want to look and feel my best in my own skin. With Oak Essentials, my skin stays hydrated and glowy, no makeup required. Get a simplified skincare routine that boosts collagen production and leaves you with beautiful, healthy skin. Treat yourself at oakessentials.com and get 15% off your first order with code BOSSPROJECT15 at checkout. The Moisture Rich Balm felt like instant relief for my dry skin. It felt like a facial at a high-end spa. I also snagged the Awaken Body Wash. It contains lavender oil. Lavender oil soothes skin with calming properties. Most soap leaves my skin feeling dry, but with Awaken Body Wash, it's hydrated and smooth. If you're already obsessed with the best-selling Moisture Rich Balm, the Moisture Rich Body Balm is the same intense moisture you know and love, formulated for a full body glow. Treat yourself at oakessentials.com. Get 15% off your first order with code BOSSPROJECT15 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at oakessentials.com. Promo code BOSSPROJECT15. From luxurious skincare to meaningful self-care, you deserve it. When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire. We've had to weed through hundreds of applications in the past. We could have saved so much time if we'd used Indeed. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Now, there's not a single part of me that is surprised. Like, absolutely not. But my travel and accommodations were definitely booked for it to be on a certain schedule. And if we're moving it, everything about what's happening with me has to change. So they decided they were going to move the shoot back a day. I don't need to get into the logistics of why, but that was happening in real time. So I had to like reschedule my makeup artist. They had to rebook my hotel for another night, change my flights, all of the things. That meant I had a whole day in LA I wasn't planning on. And I was trying to kind of decide what to do with myself. So enjoyed dinner that evening, spent some time catching up with some colleagues in the industry, and then went to bed. And in the morning, I took myself to breakfast. Oh, so good. I went out to the Grove. For those of you who are unfamiliar, it's essentially like a shopping district. Two things. One, my husband's a landscape architect, and he has a huge appreciation for gathering spaces and places that like put a ton of intentionality into what's being done for pedestrians. And the Grove is an outdoor shopping area that is very pedestrian-centric. Like, it's like shopping meets Walt Disney World, but on a very small scale. And with luxury brands, not necessarily food and roller coasters, obviously, that would be at Walt Disney World. But I went into it thinking, okay, it's going to be beautiful and I can shop. And since I'm going to be here and on a whole extra day, I can find another outfit. Joke's on me. Joke's on me. I am honestly so disappointed, and I know I don't talk a lot about my weight for a million reasons on this podcast, but I just have to say it is so disappointing how brands do not give an F if you are over a certain weight. And most of these places barely had a large, let alone an XL or a 2X or even a plus section, like non-existent. And we're talking a place that gets, I imagine, tens of thousands of visitors a year. And the average woman is a size 18 in America. Like, what are we doing? Anyway, so I was a little upset, honestly, between the shoot day changing, I can't find a single thing that fits me. And all of these stores, I didn't try on anything because nothing even looked remotely close to fitting. So I wasn't going to disappoint myself any further. So I took myself to lunch at this cute little cafe. The food in LA is delicious, by the way. I had nothing but great food while I was there. Took myself to a cute little cafe. I'm definitely like down and out, and spoke with my spouse a little bit. And he's like, well, there's a movie theater. Like, he's like, I can see where you're at. Like, there's a movie theater, like, in the shopping area you're in. He's like, I just looked up tickets. I bought you a ticket. You have a ticket to blah, blah, blah show at this time. Take yourself to a movie. And I was like, that was literally the sweetest thing. Because everything had been so out of my control for weeks, months at this point. And to just not feel great about my body and like the fact that I had no control over my time. It was not a fun day. I want to say that it was amazing. It wasn't. I was so frustrated. But I took myself to a movie, laughed. It was highly inappropriate. Not a good movie, frankly. But nonetheless, it was a distraction for a few hours. And then I went to the farmer's market, which from what I hear is like one of the first farmer's markets in the United States, but it's been commercialized since then. So farmer's markets in Kansas City are like actual farmers who bring produce to like an open air market. This was an open air market with a ton of retail and food locations in it, but definitely small business. So there was like a French like cooking place where you could like buy knives and cutlery and like fancy olive oil and stuff. There was candy places and French pastry places and so much food. And it was beautiful. It was definitely a breath of fresh air. It felt a little less touristy. I'm sure it's a tourist spot. Do not get me wrong. But it felt a little more cultural. Let's put it that way. And I got a crepe. And oh my gosh. I don't know those of you who've actually been to France. But once you've eaten food in France, i.e. like pastries in France, every pastry for the rest of your life is now a disappointment. And this was the first time in over 10 years, like 12 years, that I was like, I feel like I'm there. And it was a good moment. It was a nice distraction from how chaotic everything had been. So I grabbed that. I got a present for a friend and ended up setting up kind of like a girls' night with Harriet, the makeup artist I had mentioned earlier in the show. And we were able to go to dinner in Silver Lake. Now, the cool part between the farmer's market, going back to the hotel, and going to Silver Lake is I grabbed an Uber. The irony of this Uber is I'm sitting in the back seat and this cute older Japanese man picks me up and he asks where I'm from. And I tell him I'm from Kansas City. And this man, in his entire demeanor changed. He went from kind of like worn out and tired from driving for who knows how long to so interested. And I was very surprised. And he was like, I went to KU. And for those of you who don't know, we have two state schools in Kansas, Kansas University and Kansas State University. And he was a retired pediatrician. He had gone to the medical school in our city, which is the same place that I worked before I decided to change from pre-med to art. So it was like very full circle for me, where this life that I could have potentially had completely changed, and it all led me back to this moment. And he was just so sweet. And both of us, I don't know if it was because of traffic or we took a wrong turn or what, no idea, but we end up driving back through the Hollywood Hills, through the curviest streets I've ever driven on in my entire life. And it was absolutely stunning. The conversation with this man was so incredible, but also the views were breathtaking. And I just kind of got to revel in that I'm here because I made different choices. And this is not to say that he made any wrong choices. This guy is living the life. He worked in Pasadena as a pediatrician for years and drives Uber for fun now in retirement. He does like 3 or 4 trips a day, and like that's his whole day. The guy is living, okay? But I don't know. I think it started to sink in that like this is real and this is actually happening. And it didn't happen to me. It happened because of the choices I made to get to this point. Harriet and I have dinner, and it was just so fun to hear about her journey and a little bit more about how she got where she is, because she immigrated to this country. She's from Britain and she has a green card, but she's not a US citizen. And talking about entrepreneurship with someone who probably won't ever become a US citizen but lives on American soil, it's such an interesting position to be in. And hearing her story and what she wants and where she's going and all the things, it's so interesting how similar our lives are despite coming at it from such different places. So it was great to have that conversation with her, but I needed to go to bed and get some sleep because I had an early day the next day. So I took myself back to my hotel, and the next morning I got up at 6:30 to start doing my hair and getting ready so that I would be available and ready for the makeup artist who got there at 8. Zara came to do my makeup, and she probably spent 2.5 hours on it. I have never, ever gotten my makeup done before. It was very strange to sit there for 2.5 hours, but it was so fascinating to hear her story. Her and Harriet's story is so very similar. They actually used to work together, and Zara still does makeup, does a lot of commercial makeup for like makeup brands for photo shoots and things, but also red carpet, also celebrity. And Harriet is now on the education side. So Harriet's job is a lot more similar to mine in that she's teaching other people to build their businesses. She's just obviously speaking to a different business model. I'm honestly surprised that by the end of this 2.5 hours, I had not developed an accent, because I just spent collectively like 5 hours with people from Britain, and I love speaking in a British accent. And I was like, don't be offended if I start saying words like you. And she was like, she was here for it. She was like, please do, please join me. So anyway, nonetheless, I got myself ready. I took a car out to the shoot. We were doing the shoot in 2 different locations. So the first location was at a restaurant. I don't actually know what I can tell you about that other than where it was. But we were at a restaurant, and there was 3 cameras, 2 cameramen, a director, a producer, and another entrepreneur, and then the small business owner, then the brand partner, and then an assistant. I don't even know. Like, I lost track of how many staff were around. That was a little wild, but we got through it. And it was interesting to hear the dynamics of how it all worked. I think you make out in your head what it's going to look or feel like, thinking, okay, they're going to tell us to say this, and we're going to do it. And then they're going to say cut, and we're going to do it again. And then they're going to say cut, and then we're going to do it again. And then they're going to like clap when it's perfect, right? No. Like, it's honestly, it's so much more like my normal everyday job than I could have anticipated. It was like, oh, a little planning. Let's just try some things. Oh, I think that's pretty good. But like, let's try this bit with this angle, but we're not really redoing anything. Like, nothing, what we didn't re-say the same lines. We didn't necessarily try to recreate a moment that already happened. We did do a couple intros and a couple outros to things, but none of them were identical. And I think for the purpose of reality TV, the thought is, I'm sure if there's 3 intros, they're probably going to use a little bit of each of them and none of all of it, if that makes sense. But I don't know. Like, I have no clue. I am just at the whims of what it'll end up looking like. So we shot the one scene, and then we went to lunch. We had hand rolls, sushi. Can you tell I'm a foodie? If not, we need to fix that, because I freaking love food and I want to have good food all the time. Hand rolls were great. And then we went back to the studio. So the production company that's putting together the show has their own studio in Studio City, and they are doing a lot at the same time. Like, right now they're producing 8 different shows for major streaming, plus doing commercials. Like, the week before, they had shot a commercial for Honda. They're doing music videos, like the breadth and depth of the amount they're doing. But they're also a small business in the grand scheme of things. The staff is 15 full-time people, which is tiny. That's smaller than a lot of agencies that I've worked with or worked adjacent to in my career in the creative industry. So they're a small team. They obviously flex up when they have a show that they're working on. They'll bring in a lot of contractors for specific things, and I'm sure a ton of union workers because of the nature of the kind of work that they're doing. But that is, they're a small team doing a big, big, big job. Now, this team is definitely up to snuff when it comes to really paying attention to the latest in technology. So one of the sets is complete green screen, but not just a green psych. So for those of you who know what a psych is like a endless plane. So there's no wall that meets the floor. It's like a rounded surface so that there's no edges, if that makes sense. So it's total green screen, but there are sensors everywhere. So there's sensors on the floor, sensors on the ceiling, sensors on the wall. And all of those sensors are meant to detect in real time where a subject is at, regardless if it's a person or an object like a car or whatever. And specifically what they're doing here, and is definitely going to be something we see more in movies soon, but I think you're going to see it first in shorter productions, things like music videos, things like commercials. The thought is you take real life and you simultaneously sync it with alternative reality. And when you're filming, you're not filming on green screen and then putting the environment around it afterward. You're like building a virtual reality, almost like a video game, and then putting the subject in it. And so when you're filming it, you're doing both at the same time. Like the real object is in the virtual world and the video footage is them synced up. Does that even make sense? It's honestly wild. So they have that. They also have, what would you call it? Like a giant, for lack of a better term, a giant curved television. Okay, so we've all seen a set where there's a curtain or a backdrop and then they're projection screening onto it. And then the subject is in front of it. We've seen it, we've experienced it. And it can feel fake when you're looking at old productions. But this like method of projection style filming where the environment is kind of cast into the room is not new. Like that's a concept that's happened for decades. The twist is we've moved away from projection into LCD and LED screens. I don't actually know which one it is. Probably LED. I feel like LCD was early 2000s? I don't know. But because it's not a projection, but it's an actual screen, the definition of what's there is much more vivid. So you're seeing this kind of technology on things all the time, whether you realize it or not. A lot of it is being done in smaller scale on things like news stations, where maybe you see a news desk, but then behind it is like an aerial view of the city or, you know, clips of a football game or whatever. They're shooting with a screen behind them. The thought with this is you can shoot both, you know, direct to camera, but also with a live audience, and the live audience can see the whole thing. Like they can see you, and but they're not just like looking at a green screen, they're looking at what the camera is seeing at the same time. So in terms of putting yourself in the environment, especially if you're an actor, I imagine would feel much easier to like get into whatever role you need to get into. But I do think I've mostly seen it done in a reality TV or talk show format where they're not necessarily trying to act. They might be playing a role, but they're not necessarily saying a scripted line. Anyway, got the tour of all of that. We filmed in a separate space. I can't necessarily tell you why we filmed where we did. It'll make sense once you know what the show is. But this was like direct to camera interviews, much like, you know, like on The Bachelor when they give out the roses and then they do the interviews on the back end and you can tell the producer's talking to them and they're answering questions. Like same style, same setup. I was not given a rose. I'm not on The Bachelor. Don't worry. So sitting in a chair, again, multiple cameras, The crew was smaller for this part, which was honestly so fine. I appreciated having less bodies in the room. I'm an introvert, so I was already so exhausted by this point. But nonetheless, we got to chat, and I imagine this part isn't just for the show. So it will also be used in media and in social. Frankly, I don't know how much of it will be used. I have no idea. But that was just me. There wasn't anyone else on set. It was just my interview with the director / producer. In the mix of this, I got to see a rough cut of one of the episodes. Not a whole episode, but 5 minutes or so of an episode. And it was so fun to see it coming together. And it was really interesting to watch because at this point, the rest of the studio hadn't seen it. So no one had given notes. The director hadn't even reviewed it yet. So, I mean, this was early and it was before color mixing, sound mixing. I'm sure there's another mix that they do. But imagine you just take all the different clips and you're clipping together the show. But when I say sound mixing, I mean like something may have been shot outdoors and then inside and then a group of people and then one person and then shouting and then clapping. It, like all of those things are going to have completely different setups and volumes and all of those things. And so they have to make that sound mixing is the process of like making that feel like a smooth thing where they're not like jumping around a lot. You want it to feel really fluid and natural. And then color mixing is what it sounds like where they're color correcting. But with cameras these days, it's not as crazy as it used to be. Nonetheless, it was awesome. Like I was excited before, but seeing the clip of the show, I was like, wow. Like it was very evident to me this will be a show that has multiple seasons and potentially has a lot of longevity if, you know, they make some little tweaks here and there. And like, that is so cool to be a part of season one, episode one of something that you see that has legs for the long term. Like, honestly, I can't even comprehend what that means, but it's very, very, very cool. Now, I would tell you more about the studio or more about who the producer and director are, but I still don't know what I can say. So I won't for this episode, but just know that I'm very impressed by the work they are doing and where this show is going. And I feel so grateful to be asked to be involved. And I'm excited to see it. I think there's going to be a red carpet premiere in LA, so I'm hoping I'll get to go back. We'll see how the timing of all that works out. It's just really wild, y'all. Like it's so wild. After we shot for the day, we asked like where we should go to dinner, and we ended up at this incredible restaurant called The Courtyard. I'm nearly positive it's like a club for a golf course. Like that's definitely the vibe it was giving off. But it's like overlooking, I don't know if they call it bluffs or mountains or cliffs in California. But if I were to describe it based on where I'm from in the country, I would call it on the side of a bluff. We weren't thousands and thousands of feet in the air on a mountain. But maybe it was a mountain. I don't know. Nonetheless, it was overlooking the entire city. We got to see the sunset and we had a slow dinner and we were there like 4.5 hours and just got to chat about life and business and all the things. And it just felt so good. Like definitely the way to end something that felt really important. And I think it was in those moments that it really set in that like this is not regardless of how big the show is. Like, honestly, it doesn't matter. Would I love people to watch it? Yes. Would I love people to come follow and learn from me because they saw the show? Obviously. I want all of those things. And I also believe that this was more about proving to myself that I am meant to impact so many more people in my lifetime and my career. And this was the start of like a really big new chapter. Like, to me, I knew the chapter started in January. That was evident since Christmas. Like, I was turning a page. But this was like the first big scene, so to speak, of my life story unfolding and of this epic second half of my career. You know, I think a lot of people assume they're going to work until they're 65. I have no plans of working until I'm 65. And so I'm sure a lot of you are like, what do you mean second half of your career? I'm pretty confident I've worked more than half the number of years I've plan to work in my whole career. I don't know. I mean, could that change? Probably, maybe. But I don't need to work beyond my mid-40s. I'll have plenty to retire on, should I so choose. But maybe it's less about my career versus like the years I'm grinding gets a bad rap. But the years I'm putting a ton of intentionality into it versus the years I just get to give back all the time. And I hope the latter part of my life is way more about unconditionally helping people without needing to get anything out of it in return. Gosh, it's hard to put into words how much all of this meant to me. But I hope you watch. I hope you like pay attention to when I get to actually make an announcement. From what I know, it's supposed to come to a major streaming service. You probably are already a subscriber. End of April, early May. But based on the dates being rescheduled so many times, don't hold me to anything. I have no control over the air date. But when I know it's actually happening, and I don't think it'll move, I will definitely keep you in the loop. So thanks for kind of going on this journey with me. If you have questions, I'm sure there's a gajillion things I left out. It's a little bit hard when I can't tell you much, but feel free to DM me questions, and I would love to do a follow-up episode when it makes sense. But know that this opportunity wouldn't have happened if it weren't for the support of this community. Y'all are incredible people, and I'm so, so grateful to have you in my corner. And I can't wait to see what you do next.
Looking to elevate your brand without the headache? Join the Co-op, our creative template shop membership. With thousands of easy to customize templates, all crafted to seamlessly fit your business aesthetics, we make nurturing leads and driving sales effortless. We're talking serious impact and seriously simple creation. Become a member now at creativeshopcoop.com and transform your business today. That's creativeshopcoop.com. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode, send it to a friend who needs to hear it, and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind-the-scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love the show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.